Let's have a word of prayer this morning, and we'll get started on our class. Heavenly Father, we thank you now again for this time together. Thank you for the privilege of being able to study your word, and yet the personableness of the word of God as well. Because we have a God who is involved in our daily lives. You're not some kind of a stick or a stone idol or anything like this. You are the living God. And we thank you, Lord, that you care for us, that you love us, and sent your Son to take our place under God's wrath. And we thank you for this this morning. We pray for Brother Heimer as he's ill this morning. Ask for your healing for him and soon return to us. We pray in Jesus' name. And we also pray for Brother Caudill, who's going to be bringing the message this morning. Pray you would fill him with your spirit, even at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're in number three now. This is lesson number three. If you need one, there's a fill-in out there. And we're glad to see our melodious lady back with us this morning. Good to see you, Melody. Hope you had a good time in Colorado. Good, good. I have a good friend who pastors a church up in northern Colorado, Elmwood Baptist in... I can't remember the name of the town. It's up by, huh? Yeah, right. I'll think of it probably about the middle of the lesson here. All right. So this is number three. It's actually a continuation of what we've learned thus far, folks. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful lesson this morning, because here's Peter and John, and they came up, and God used them to heal this man. We have our invalid here. Our lady invalid here, and I raised her up last week and so forth, just as they would. And so we come now to the spirit-filled life that makes a difference. This is something that is, I'm sorry to say, sadly lacking in a lot of churches today. We were reading Dr. Adrian Rogers' book in our devotional time. I think it was last night, wasn't it? We read about Ho-hum Christianity. That was last night. And that's kind of what you find today in many churches, not necessarily Regency. I think we've got some good people here, and they want to get the job done for the Lord. Come on in, Glenn. Glad to have you. And so he calls it ho-hum Christianity, people that are lukewarm. They're not really hot for the Lord, and they're not ice cold. They probably wouldn't be there if they were. But they're lukewarm, and so God doesn't care for this, and you find that in the book of Revelation as well. Today, we want to go ahead with the spirit-filled life making a difference. And there are actually three perspectives on being filled with the Spirit that we find here in our lesson today. You ought to take these things seriously, because really, you should be seeking God's filling of the Spirit in your life. You should be seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's normal Christianity, folks. You go back to the first church and how they lived back then and so forth. They didn't have all these gadgets and toys and, you know, electronics and all this stuff. So they had time to read their Bibles and pray and seek the Lord about these things. Now, we can do that today, but it's going to take some work to get it done. And so, number one here, we want to go on. And just so you know, I haven't forgotten here. Come on. John, where are you? There it goes. Okay. So we have the spirit-filled life making a difference here with this. And number one here is the priority. Priority of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice the word priority, folks. Being filled with God's Spirit is not an option. The fact is, you and I cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit's power. Why is that? Because the Spirit-filled life is the life of Jesus Christ, his resurrected life. And because of this, we've got to have God's power in our lives. You depend on the flesh to live the Spirit-filled life, and you're going to fail every time. I've tried it several times in my life. It does not work. You look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not needed just for preaching or for the work of the apostles. His presence is necessary for every Christian in all circumstances, each and every day of life. I don't care what it is. If you're digging a hole in the ground, like Carl and I were talking about this morning, work that has to be done in the church building, or anything else. We had foundation work done on our house a little while back, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was. And I count it as an opportunity, actually, to talk to the men about the Lord. And if you take things like that and look at your opportunities that God gives to you, you'll be amazed at what he does. For example, in Ephesians chapter 5, the New Testament's classic chapter on the marriage relationship, the Apostle Paul begins his instructions to husbands and wives by commanding them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You find things are completely different when you're filled with God's Spirit. You don't have the grumpy attitude that you might have had beforehand and so forth. So it's actually a wonderful thing. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, and be not drunk with wine, excuse me, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled, that is, controlled by the Holy Spirit. See, when you're drunk with wine, you're being controlled by alcohol. I trust that no one here would even get close to that sort of thing. I'm sorry to say that in my bygone days, I was drunk a couple of times in my life. You know, I never cared for the taste of the stuff, and I really didn't like the way it made me feel. So giving it up after I'm saved was no problem. But some people, it is a problem because of addiction. They get used to it, and they depend upon it, and it becomes a habit. And once it's habitual in your life, you have a real problem. So we want A under this now. What am I doing wrong, John? There we go. The Holy Spirit is our promise. In John 16, following the upper room supper, the Lord Jesus explained to his disciples that though he would be going away, he would send the Holy Spirit to teach, comfort, and guide them. John 16, verse 7. This is interesting. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Remember, this is God the Holy Spirit we're talking about. He is also known as the Spirit of Christ. And so you want to know what the Lord Jesus would be like? His Spirit is living within you if you're a believer. This is something that's very, very important. After his resurrection and before his ascension to heaven, Jesus reminded them of the promise once again. In fact, Jesus explained that the Holy Spirit's ministry was so important, they would need to wait in Jerusalem for his arrival. God always has his own timing and his own plans and so forth, and he promises to answer prayer, but it's going to be in his own way, in his own time. And these are things that we have to kind of get used to in a Christian life. You know, we want everything from God yesterday, don't we? 5 minutes ago. And we want him to answer our prayer that way. He doesn't always do that. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he'll answer prayer before you even see the need for a prayer. It comes like that. But he doesn't always do it that way. Vance Havner said this, for the Christian, all ground is holy ground. And every bush is a burning bush. You take that back to the Old Testament. Think about Moses with the burning bush over here. Of course, he had to take his shoes off, flat on his face before God, and so on. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait For the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. That's a command that God gave to his disciples. If he were standing here next to me or teaching the class, it'd be better, wouldn't it? Teaching the class, he would tell you the same thing. Wait for the filling of the Spirit of God before you do anything. For John truly baptized with water, immersed with water, but ye shall be baptized or immersed with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I think that's a very interesting verse when you stop to consider the wording there. So we have B then. The first one is the Holy Spirit is our promise. And God fills you, God promises you that he will fill you with the Spirit if you will meet certain conditions in your life. It's not automatic. In fact, there's no cruise control on the Christian life. Right, brother? There's no cruise control. You've got to make a real effort in your life if you want to live for Christ. But the core value, the core resource, if we want to put it that way, is the Holy Spirit living within you. So we want to go to B now, which is the Holy Spirit is our power. He is the power, Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, what is the characteristic, or one of them at least, of being filled with God's Spirit? Being a witness, living the life of a witness. It's not some kind of a, well, I don't know if I want to talk to this lady or not about the Lord. I might embarrass myself. I might say the wrong thing. Or she might say, get out of my face, you know, or whatever it may be. No, it's not like that at all, because we want to live the life of a witness. Now, she may not like it, but the fact is she's going to get the gospel. And what she does with it, of course, is up to her. The Holy Spirit's power enables us to do what we cannot do in our own strength. Not possible. His power enables us to be kind and sweet to our spouses. though we've had a bad day, his power enables us to refuse sin, though we're sorely tempted. His power enables us to forgive and restore, though we've been wronged. And a lot of Christians cannot do that today. If they're wronged by somebody, they'll say, well, I'll think about forgiving this guy or this lady, whoever it is, you know. But as far as really wanting them to be restored and to fellowship with me, I don't know about that. You know, that's not God's Spirit. That's the flesh talking. And we're to live above all that stuff, folks. Think about the pastor. Pastor Harmer, do you think he's ever been embarrassed and maybe wronged by somebody? I'm sure he has. In fact, I know of some things. But that's not important. What's important is how he handled that. And the handling of it was living in God's Spirit and forgetting about being wronged, so forth, and extending forgiveness to these people. The only way we'll ever accomplish anything of eternal significance or miraculous proportions is through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have these two things with regard to the Holy Spirit. Is our promise and our power. Now we want to go to number two in our outline here. Whoop. Not too far. There we go. This is the pathway to being filled with the Holy Spirit. There are certain criteria that need to be met if we're going to be filled with God's Spirit. Why is that? Bear in mind that God is holy, folks, and we are not holy in our flesh. No, there's no way. You might think you're a pretty good person and all that, but that's far, far removed from having God's power in your life. So the pathway to being filled with the Holy Spirit, many other believers were filled with the Holy Spirit besides Peter. The fullness of the Spirit is not just for apostles, preachers, or missionaries. The Holy Spirit's filling was standard operating procedure. You know, that's a Navy term. Did you know that, Brother Rusty? Huh? You don't believe that, but it is. SOP. Standard Operating Procedure for all first century Christians. That's right. And it should be our SOP today as well. Standard Operating Procedure. You get up in the morning, what do? You want to put on the armor of God. Say, Lord, this is your day. I want your armor on me by faith. And I want to walk this day in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm giving it to you. I bow to you. I surrender to you. Every part of my life is yours. My desires, my will, everything, dreams, you name it, it's all yours. In Acts 4:31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with what? With boldness. Peter was a guy that tripped over his own feet all the time. I'm talking about his mouth, of course. He'd say things without thinking and so forth. He was ignorant. He was a fisherman and so on. In fact, you remember the Mount of Transfiguration. He and John were up there and so forth. And there were three of them, in fact. And there they were, and the Lord is transformed in front of them, and there are two prophets that appeared with him there, and they're all discussing his death and resurrection. And so Peter says, oh, Lord, this is wonderful. You know, we ought to make three tabernacles here, one for each of you, and so forth. And the Father had to come over in a cloud and say, shut your face. He didn't say it like that. But he said, this is my beloved Son. I want you to listen to him. And that's the key right there. So the first thing is we need to connect with God. We've got about four things under this. Connect with God. Give priority to spending time with God in prayer and Bible study. See what the observers noticed about Peter and John in this passage. In Acts 4:13, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You've got to spend time with the Lord if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you marry someone in your life, what's the one thing you want to do? You want to spend time with that person. It's just normal. The one thing I found that real love means you want to make the other person happy. You want to keep that person happy. It's all you live for in many cases, to keep that person happy. Rusty was sitting over there and he's thinking, I don't know about that. You know? No, I know better. The Holy Spirit's filling results from time spent with Jesus. If you haven't spent time with him, you can't be filled by Spirit. What did the Lord say to his disciples? He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, how do we keep his commandments? We spend time in God's word. My Bible's over there somewhere. You've got your Bible with you today. You've got to spend time in God's word. You've got to spend time in prayer, speaking with the Lord. Think about the things that the pastor has taught us on Wednesday night with regard to prayer, the construction of good prayer, and so forth, having your heart clean before God, and so on. The Holy Spirit's filling results from time spent with Jesus. So, John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, what? You can do nothing. That means without his Spirit, you can do nothing. He's in heaven, he's the God-man in heaven at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us his Spirit to help us, to encourage us, even to chasten us. You know, I'm glad for God's chastening. I really am. If I get out of line and so forth, I know that he loves me enough that he's going to chasten me to get me back in line. Somebody might say, well, I don't know if that's possible or not. But there he is. Are you carving out time in your daily schedule to meet with God? Do you have an appointment with him when you'll be able or be alone and quiet? Not rushed, in his presence with an open Bible and a prayerful heart. If you miss this time with him, you will miss the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And if you miss the fullness of the Spirit, you will miss the major source of wisdom, power, comfort, and direction that God intended you to possess. This is God's intention. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, folks, everything in the Christian life, everything, you think about it, from the new birth till the time you go to be with the Lord, and we're talking about either death or the rapture, but the fact is, even if you pass away first, you're still going up in the rapture. It's guaranteed. Everything in the Christian life is supernatural. Everything. It's all done miraculously by Him. Think about everything in your life. So we want to go to the next thing, which is confess to God. Confess to God. Forsake the sin and weights that prevent the Spirit's fullness. You go to the book of Hebrews and you find that he talked to the Hebrew Christians, the believers then, who were ready to go back into nationalism because of a revival of nationalism. They kicked the Romans out for a short time and so forth. Yeah, boy, we're going to reestablish the kingdom and all this. And Paul said, no, 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 you need to stay with the Lord. You don't want to get wrapped up in that sort of thing. Politics are okay when they're good, aren't they? But the politics can change at a twinkling of an eye at times. Even people in power can change. So you got to be careful. God does not change. Never, never, never changes. Forsake the sin and the weights that prevent the Spirit's fullness. To be filled with the Spirit, we must clear the way of obstacles and impediments which prevent the flow of His power and presence in our lives. Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You've got to be honest with the Lord. I mean, you've got to be open and honest. He already knows everything. You're not hiding anything. Well, I'll put everything over here in this closet and God won't mess with it. You know? No, no, He knows what's in the closet. He knows everything about you. He knows more about you than you do. But we need to be honest with Him. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, lawlessness, in other words, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. That's the problem. You cannot be filled with God if you are already filled with self-will. You think about the things in your daily life. Why do you do them? Is it your own will that prevails, or are you sure that it's what God wants you to do? I'm not talking about going to the grocery store, you know, filling your gas tank and all that. I'm talking about important things. And where should you be? And what time should you be there? And so forth. How does God's will fit into these things? And is it prevalent in your life? Wherefore, in Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Once you've established the connection with God and confess, then we go to C, which is call on God. You've done all you can to confess sin, everything you know of. I even go so far and say, Lord, there may be something sinful in my life that I don't realize or don't recognize yet. Forgive me for that as well. Cleanse me. I want to be clean before God. And sometimes it brings tears, folks. And if that's the case, then fine. God knows your heart. And if it brings you to tears, that's probably a good thing. Because it shows fervency. It shows the heartthrob that you have, that you want to be close to the Lord. If you want your Heavenly Father to bestow the Holy Spirit or His Spirit's presence and power in your life, ask. Luke 11:13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Now, He's indwelling us as believers, but that doesn't mean He's in charge all the time. And He will wait patiently. Sometimes he has to chasten, and there are times when you and I will grieve him or quench him, doing different things, whatever it may be. So we want to take a moment each morning and ask God to empty you of self and fill you with his Spirit. Ask him to replace your fleshy nature, pride, anger, fear, etc., with his divine nature. Humility, meekness. Anybody know what meekness is? People say, well, it rhymes with what? With weakness. That's not what meekness is. Meekness is strength under control. We've gone through this a few years back, I think. But meekness is strength under control. And you set these things aside, meekness, faith, etc. Ask him to direct your words, actions, reactions, decisions, motives, and even your thoughts. Die to yourself and give the Holy Spirit control. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified. When Jesus died on that cross, that was you and I dying because he was our substitute. The body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Then Galatians 2:20, a wonderful verse and very important. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, let's go to D. And that is continue with God. I guess I need to leave that button down a little bit, don't I, John? Longer. Continue with God. Walk through each day exercising sensitivity to God's leadership and following his direction. Unfortunately, a spirit-filled life doesn't come automatically. There's no cruise control in Christianity. Even after spending time with God, sometimes people who spend time with God in the morning are functioning in the flesh by afternoon. You ever find yourself getting upset? And sometimes there's good reason to get upset. But God says, I can give you victory over that. That's the difference. I can give you the victory over that so you don't have to be upset, so you live above that. We must walk in the Spirit, remaining sensitive to God's still, small voice. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, let's go on here to number three. I've got to move on. Number three is the product. What does it produce? What happens when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? In Acts 4:29 and 30, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Verse 30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. God doesn't necessarily use signs and wonders anymore. He can. It's a matter that that's not his purpose. His purpose is to take a person and completely transform their life from the inside out and use that as a testimony to a dying and sinful world. This is what God wants to do. That's his plan. And so we find, first of all, that the Spirit produces a bold witness in Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They were surprised. What is going on here? And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. In Acts 4:31, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now folks, don't look for some kind of a traumatic emotional, upswing, or you may have some. I've known people that have what they call a mountaintop experience when they get saved, but not everyone is saved like that. Some people are kind of bereft of emotions, you might think. Yeah, but others are emotional when they're saved. Well, it's the same thing in the Christian life. They might get some kind of an emotional high, you know, but they may not. Don't look for that sort of thing. Look for God to use you and to give you what he said he would give you. That's what you need to look for. So the Spirit produces a bold witness. Then B, it produces a steady walk. You usually don't have to tell that kind of a person, that kind of a Christian, that he needs to be in church when the doors are open, because he's going to support God's work. He's going to be there. Next week we're going to talk about generosity. That's another characteristic of being filled with God's Spirit. You don't worry about things. God says, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do that for me. And you say, yes, Lord. You go ahead and do it. And you find joy in doing it because you're in his will, because you're filled with God's Spirit. Verse 19 of Acts 4, 18 through 20 says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. These folks were facing prison time, maybe even death, because the Jewish leaders did not want to hear what they were preaching. So in the face of threats, these men walked steadily. They weren't going to allow political, religious, or cultural pressure to cause them to cave in and not do what God wanted them to do. Can we remain steady? Yes, because the Holy Spirit, like an anchor, is keeping us where God would have us to be. Malachi 3:6 says it plainly, for I am the Lord, I change not. The Hebrews 13:8 agrees with this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Who do you think was speaking to them in the Old Testament? I think it was the Lord Jesus before his incarnation. So then we come to C. This is the Spirit producing a steady walk. And now we go to C, which produces a divine work. In Acts 4:30, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, this goes right along with the passage we've been talking about here, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. I've heard about missionaries being on the foreign field and so forth, and they couldn't speak the language of the people there, and they wanted to get the word of God to them and so on. So God gave them the gift of tongues. Well, that's possible. That's possible. But remember that God's plan, his main purpose, is that people live by faith. And so usually what happens before a missionary goes on the field, he has to go to language school to learn the language and so forth, because this is the normal, natural way of doing things. These early Christians had just seen 3,000 saved on Pentecost. This is an amazing thing. Followed by the healing of the lame man, then the salvation of 5,000 more. But these early Christians were believing God for even greater miracles in the days ahead. The question we need to ask ourselves, folks, is are we the way that they were? That is, were they were expecting God, they were believing God for greater miracles in the days ahead. Are we expecting God for greater miracles in the days ahead? This is what we need to get straightened out in our lives, in our minds, and so forth. God wants to save people, but he does it through you and I. God wants to do many wonderful things. Look at this. Regency Baptist Church, especially, the men prayed for years. Remember this, Glenn? You remember this. We prayed for years just for one room to add on to a building for fellowship. And God closed the door every time. He closed the door. It was just out of our reach, just too far out, so forth. And now he gives us all of this. Is it perfect? No. Does it need work? Yes. And from time to time, it's going to need work because it's a building. Buildings get old, just like people. Yeah, ask me about it. I'll tell you all about getting old. So, but people can believe God even today for greater things. And we need to believe God. We need to believe. I pray every time. Every time I pray that God will fill every seat in this auditorium. Believers, yes. Families looking for a good church, yes. Backsliding believers coming back to the Lord, yes. Every type of person we can get. Fill these chairs so the gospel can go forth in power. Striking hearts and people can be saved. Believe God for miraculous things. And they understood that the Holy Spirit had come, and with the Holy Spirit's presence, anything is possible. So these are things we need to think about today. We need to pray about these things. Do you have time to spend with the Lord? You've got to make time. You and I have the same amount of time every day. You say, but I've got to do this, that, and the other thing, okay? Then take time. Get up a little earlier. Go to bed a little earlier and read while you're in bed. If you can't do that, you're going to do. That's what I do sometimes. I'm gone. So I've got to do it during the day. But pick out the best time for you. Time when you're clear-headed and you have burdens upon your heart. You've got a prayer list, I hope, of needs of others and so on. You want to spend time with Him. Spending time with Him will change you. You find that you start to delight in the things of the Lord. And that's the time when you can ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, that He controls you. I had a class up in Fairview Baptist Church. I was teaching the adult Sunday school class. This is years ago. And I had a fellow there that had been trained by a pastor in Los Angeles, I think it was. This is up in Montana. And I can't remember exactly all what happened and so forth. But he made a statement, something about works or working your way to heaven or whatever. And I don't remember what I was going to say. I can tell you what came out, Brother Paul. What came out was, then salvation is not by grace. I was stunned when this came out. And I don't know what I was going to say, but that's what happened. The Lord does that at times. He takes over. And every time I teach this class, I tell Him, I want you to take over this class. I want you to teach. You can use me, that's fine. Use me as a conduit. I don't want to be a sponge, and I don't want these people to be sponges. I want them to be conduits, to learn to be channels of blessing to other people. And that's the real way to live. And by the way, that's a characteristic of being filled with God's Spirit. Wanting to help others, wanting to meet needs, wanting to see others saved, so forth. That's God's heart, folks. Why did He send His Son to this earth? Because He wanted you and I to be saved. Because He wants to meet the needs of people. God so loved the world, mankind, that He sent His only begotten Son. Okay, so next week we're going to take up generosity with regard to making a difference. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful again for God's word. We're thankful, Lord, that these things are possible, even in our lives today. We're not so technologically built up and so forth and filled and all that we can't get back to biblical Christianity. All we've got to do is want to spend time with You, confessing sin and having time in the Word of God and prayer, and we find ourselves transformed in our hearts, in our lives. We want to spend time with others. We want to pray for others. We want to lead them to Christ. We want to see loved ones saved and helped. And in whatever way is that it needs to be done. We thank You now for this time and pray for the morning service to come. We pray for Brother Heimer's health and his healing. Pray for Brother Cottle as he brings the word of God today. In Jesus' name, amen.